Hello, hey, bonjour, I'm Gwen Lafarge, and this is the Tech Marketing Pod Chat, casual discussion with some of the best, most passionate tech marketers out there. They share their stories, their insights, their day-to-day. So get ready to listen, learn, and get inspired. Welcome to a new episode of the Tech Marketing Pod Chat. My guest today is Luke Richardson, is Head of Brand and Comms at Plio. Plio is a fintech company. They offer smart company cards for businesses. So no more expense reports, no more tiers, power to the people. They really put creativity at the center of their brand. So of course, that's what we talked about creativity, about building a fantastic creative team in-house and building all those talents in-house. Luke has a very interesting background as a marketer, coming from being a stand-up comedian, working with copywriting, then working with video. So it's really interesting to listen to him and how he approached branding and the creativity behind it. And we talked about copy and design that are both sides of the same coin. We talked about storytelling. So fantastic, inspiring discussion today with Luke. Enjoy. Hello and welcome, Luke, to the Tech Marketing Pod Chat. Really happy to have you on.
Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, very interesting to hear about you and your profile and what you do at Plio and your team. But maybe let's start by you giving us a little bit background about you, because it's pretty unusual, I think, from being like a brand marketer.
Yeah, sure. Be happy to. I mean, I don't think I've had the most linear of tracks getting to the role of being a director of brand and comms at Plio, but it's been an interesting road to get to that point, I guess. So from the UK, been living out here in Denmark for almost 10 years now. Moved here originally after studying at an art college, and actually was studying kind of media and communications there with a focus around broadcasting. Then I worked in stand-up comedy, fortunately not as a comedian, but as a sort of production person. And then after a year, decided to sort of part ways with London, which is basically my hometown, and instead, uproot and move to Copenhagen. Took my master's in film there, worked as a film critic, a failing film critic, I'd say, for a year. And then ultimately decided that I really wanted to join a team. I kind of missed the sort of team dynamics there. So I joined a company called Momondo, travel meta search company, and there I was in the content team, eventually scaling that. So we had at its peak, I think, 11 kind of content creators, which includes copywriters, videographers, and so on. And then we had a international contributor network of around 250 people up and down the country and the world that are sort of effectively working as reporters on the ground in cities like Sao Paulo and Barcelona and so on. After that, went to a company called Airtame. So that was my first introduction to B2B. That's a sort of hardware startup here in Copenhagen. And finally found Plio a little over 2.5 years ago now, which is still headquartered here in Copenhagen. And I'd never had any, I never thought I had any interest in expense management and financial services, but learning a little bit about the company really early on, I was really taken aback by how sticky the product was and the sort of sense of joy that you could get from having a product that allows for more sort of transparent spending within businesses, trying to remove the sort of pain point of doing reimbursements and expense reports. And in fact, when I was working in my previous company, we were actually customers of Plio. So I immediately had that understanding of the value of that product through that previous experience. So yeah. And ever since, I've been taking on that role.
I think what's really interesting here is that you come from the artistic side of marketing or brand in a way, and more from the creative side, right? And now you leading, I guess, a team of marketers and producers and creatives at Plio. Can you explain us a little bit, like how's your team at Plio? Because you mentioned there's a few creatives, right, in house.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've tried to build what I think is like a really leading team, internal, effectively creative agency within the company. And that's something that we did pretty much from the ground up, joining in July 2019. We already had an art director and a copywriter joining the same time I was, but then we decided to also a motion designer, but we decided to scale that team even further. And we now have quite a broad, I wouldn't say complete team, far from it, but like quite a broad level of skills within the company. We have first and foremost, our kind of copywriting or content team. That's three people. They work kind of holistically across the six markets that we're in. So providing sort of strategic direction for all of those markets, but then also lasering in into English as well, of course. Then we have our brand design team, which is led by our art director. And here it's four people reporting to him that are really delivering on the sort of aesthetic piece of our brand and identity. We have a small videographer duo that do all of our sort of film shoots, whether that's use cases or, you know, stuff around the house or within the office environment. What else do we have? We have our brand marketing lead, who is sort of my second in command, making sure that the operational and strategic piece is in place to enable those creative people to do their best work. And then we also have a brand manager reporting to her. And we lastly have what we call our creative production team. And this is probably the more nuanced or bespoke part of our organization. These guys are working almost entirely on our performance marketing based efforts. So the direct response advertising that you'll find on the likes of Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and so on. And these guys work extremely iteratively, right? So coming up with different concepts, seeing how we can, I guess, adapt them over time to see how they can like amount to like lead generation and so on. And obviously this is a super interesting area for now, considering the sort of changes in iOS 14 privacy and so on. We of course work very closely with the broader marketing team, which incorporates product marketing, growth marketing, which is where our marketing managers for each of the markets that we're in sit, as well as performance marketing too.
So how big is his Plio and how big is the marketing team in total?
Yeah, I mean, it may be a different number by the time that we finish this recording. We're hiring a lot at the moment, around 30 people or so joining every month. Super exciting. In total, I think we're a little bit over 300 people within the company. And most of them, I guess, let's say around half of them based over here in Copenhagen, where our headquarters is. Then we have an office in London, in Berlin, Stockholm and Madrid. And in marketing, I think we're around 25 people at the moment. Right. But we will be scaling that. The ambition within the company is that we'll be 400 people by the start of next year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, who knows the years ahead beyond that, but I'm sure we'll continue to scale.
Yeah, and it looks like the marketing and definitely creatives and creativity takes a big importance in the marketing team at Plio, which is in a way somehow maybe unusual for a lot of like tech or at least B2B companies, right, where I would say marketing is very focused on, I guess on content, but also on like the performance side. And then different companies have different models, but a lot of companies work also with external agencies, and you've decided to really build that studio in-house, right? Build that kind of content and creative machine.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I would say that we're not necessarily anti-agencies at all, far from it, you know, but for me, I think that there's a really great sweet spot in between whereby you can build something internally and then learn from people from outside of the company. And, you know, if you take a company like MailChimp, for example, this is sort of the principle that they set, you know, quite a long time ago at this point. But hopefully over time, you're able to sort of broaden that gap, meaning that your internal team is going to be, you know, all the more skilled and obviously scaling. And hopefully there'll be less agency support over time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, ask me that question again, you know, in 2 years' time, if we, I'm not sure, but, you know, open 20 new markets and we have that added internationalization piece, I'm sure that there's still going to be a very healthy support from external agencies.
Yeah. So you work with like a lot of agencies. Did you brand Was your brand created in-house or did you work with an external agency to create it?
So we started working on, we discussed this a little bit before the recording, but you know, I think when I joined in July 2019, we had a brand, of course, but it was sort of like sometimes an afterthought or maybe something that wasn't fully considered. So yep. I wouldn't say that we went necessarily on a rebranding process, but we kind of just really started to prioritize branding. And as I joined, we were kind of considering what that could look like and whether we wanted to take an internal or external route. We ended up taking an external route while actually building that in-house team simultaneously. So the closer that we got towards completion of that brand exercise, it was a lot more collaborative. Mm-hmm. But for more clarity, we worked with a really great branding agency called Koto that's based out in London, Berlin, and LA. And they actually are customers of ours as well. So they had, let's say, like an unfair advantage on many other agencies because they really yeah. understood the values of the product and right. were using it regularly. And as part of that, we worked with them while building that in-house team. And I think that it's fair to say that we kind of finish at the point where brand is still quite theoretical. You have your brand guidelines and the principles. You also have like your values, your vision statements, and so on. But then it was sort of over to me and the in-house team to really make that take flight. And that's kind of the process that we've been in the last year and a bit, year and, you know, let's say 14 months, which was quite an interesting thing to do as we were kind of going into a global pandemic, right? The ambitions yeah. that we had for like activating that brand, we maybe had to retreat somewhat. But now I feel like we've been really busy in sort of the background for quite some time. And now coming out of COVID, hopefully, and going into the summer and beyond, we're really ready to sort of put our money where our mouth is and get the word out there about Plio.
So I'm interesting if you can say of what you have in store. What are you planning to kind of activate this brand and push the word out?
Yeah, I mean, I have to be a little bit careful with what I do and don't say here, Gwen. Yeah, but I think,
of course.
You know, as a lot of this stuff is also like very much in flux. But one thing that is really important for me, and I think a lot of brand marketers are thinking about this at the moment, that if you take like Q3, September, October, these are typically like really busy periods for brand awareness in general, right? And you know, whether it's out of home campaigns with billboards or radio or TV and so on, this is like a very prevalent period, at least it is in the UK, which I guess is where most of my knowledge is coming from. But so there's those parts, but there's also this opportunity for more like experiential marketing and, you know, guerrilla marketing activations that are more like in real life and interactive. And I think that there's a sort of real appetite and craving for that at the moment, seeing as the year and a half has been so far from that. You know, we've been cooped up in our houses and haven't had that sort of interaction. So for me, and I don't think we've necessarily cracked that code just yet, perhaps by the time that this actually airs, we may have. But I think that that's what I'm really excited to explore. How can we actually bring Plio out to the people and mm-hmm. do something that is a bit more interactive and engaging.
Which is really interesting because the way you approach the brand and the big emphasis you put on it is almost in the same line as for B2C companies, right? Like you're really treating it as like a product for everybody trying to be large scale and almost with kind of a mass approach to marketing. Would you agree with that? Or
yeah, I would say so for sure. I mean, for those that maybe aren't fully aware, you know, Plio, it's a sort of B2B business spending solution. And other than perhaps communication tools like Slack and obviously Zoom in the last year that we've had, you know, buying something for work is a very sticky experience as it kind of hits every department within a company, whether you are your sales team traveling to visit clients when you're actually able to, you know, travel around the world and so on. Whether it's your procurement team is actually buying software and hardware for new joiners, let's say, whether it's your marketing team, like paying for ad spend, you know, up and down the whole company, the people are spending. So therefore, from our side, we think that you might as well be using Plio. Mm-hmm. So we take that principle and it comes very much from our design principles within product design specifically. And I think that that's, you know, a huge kudos and shout out to our design director, Pete Lacey, who's sort of been from a very early stage within the company defining this sort of end user principle that we have. So, of course, our ideal customer profiles, it's your finance admins, your CFOs, finance directors, and so on. But the people that we really broadly communicate to is that end user, those mm-hmm. people that could be in those marketing, sales, HR teams, and so on.
Yeah.
So that's also then materializing in the way that we brand ourselves as well, right? We have this brand idea, which is power to your people. And that's really about inclusivity within a working environment and realizing that sort of a top-down way of working and a top-down way of spending no longer works. So we're trying to advocate for that change.
And you've really taken the decision to go out with this very fun, modern, cool-looking brand, which is maybe not the case for a lot of financial services. Also, although we're seeing this happening more, I guess, with a company like Klarna, right, mm-hmm. who's taking this approach of becoming, well, they, I guess now they are a consumer brand and they became a bank, right? But mm-hmm. I guess even at the beginning, right, even being B2B, they had this very approach to branding that was very consumery. And in your brand, I guess there's a lot of creativity in your brand. I definitely want to talk a bit about that. I've seen some of your kind of funny videos floating around on mm-hmm. online, and they're very, in a way, disruptive, right? They don't really scream financial services, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of humor in them as well, right? It's part of your brand, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe that's a relic of my time spent for a year working in stand-up comedy, right? But, you know, that's something like very close to me. And I think that humor is just such a key aspect of like interaction and engagement with brands and people and so on. But also I feel, you know, to circle back to that, I think that within a B2B space, and also I guess considering the product that we have, which, you know, I believe is quite sticky and has like a broad appeal, like you shouldn't talk down to your customer or target audience, you know? So who's to say that that finance person doesn't actually have a sense of humor as well, you know? That's something for me that I wouldn't want to limit the perspective of our customers. And based on the contact time that I do have with the customers that we have, I'm very aware of like how diverse of thought they are and you know, the fact that they are at the end of the day still just people. And mm-hmm. when they're not crunching numbers and going through spreadsheets and opening new entities and things like that, you know, they probably are engaging with whether it's, you know, something on Netflix or HBO or wherever else. So that's memes something that
memes and Honda, right?
yeah exactly. So I think that we start with that point, that not to underestimate our customer base, and that then feeds into, I wouldn't say like an irreverent style that we have. It's just more, let's say, on the level than your typical sort of B2B financial services company, I think.
Is your target audience, so your success mostly in SMBs, or do you also work with enterprise? Because I guess there is this conception, or maybe misconception, that when you target enterprise customers and you need to take more of a serious approach, and maybe to build your credibility, and you need to kind of appear as maybe more solid, serious, not maybe in a way not as creative. Or what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's an exciting challenge, and I don't think that we're quite there yet, but it's definitely something that we have in the background, or it's at least, I wouldn't say it's keeping me up late at night just yet, but it probably will within the months to come. And for me, I think the principles still remain the same. As you're scaling, and that also includes like hiring more people within your business, it can be quite challenging to kind of retain what makes your company, or in our case, you know, what makes Plio truly Plio. And I think that there's an aspect of kind of co-creation there, and realizing that evolution is actually quite a healthy thing. It's similar to, you know, the way that individuals grow over time. You know, you don't just stop growing in a sort of emotional sense or a personal sense. So that's something that I just try to keep in mind as we're scaling. More specifically to your question, you know, that SMB space is really where we play more aggressively, and that's where, you know, you'll find our ideal customer profiles regardless of industry. But we are having more regular conversations with upmarket customers or would-be customers, and the stuff that really changes in that space is around product suitability. So there's just different requirements from a compliance, legal, financial level with those slightly bigger companies. And then the other aspect is, you know, more commonly it's like the sales cycles, right? It's less immediate, or it's perhaps less of a no-brainer that Pleo is the right solution for them. But I don't think it will change who we are. And if anything, you know, based on what we've had in the last year, which is, you know, relatively, you know, a period of hiding, let's say, I think that we're really now willing to kind of grab the megaphone and talk more aggressively, not aggressively, more forcefully about who we are and what we're doing. And I don't think that will change within the years to come. Nice. One last thing on this as well. It's like our CEO and co-founder, Jeppe Rindom, he's very much believing that, you know, we're in this because we think it's fun. We really value the work that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually the vision that we have as a company is to make everyone feel valued at work. So beyond the fact that we're selling a product that allows for smoother spending within a business environment, we're also selling like a different way of working that is more valued and more appreciated by the individual, which also means that we can have fun with it as well, I think.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's that what makes a choice of a company versus another relevant, right? It's like, I think we work hard, and if you don't have fun at the same time, then it's probably very frustrating. I mean, I've always decided in my career as well to go for a job where I think I will have fun, and then I can, you know, make something a bit different. One thing I wanted to discuss maybe in the few last minutes that we have is, like, we talked a lot about creativity and so in a way about visual identity, but mm-hmm. What's interesting in your team is that you have basically the visual part and like the art directors together with the content part, right? Like, so the content part and always and almost like the copywriting part that is the voice of the brand and the tone of the brand works really together with the visual identity. And I think your team is also responsible for content, right?
Yeah, it is. And funnily enough, this is something we were talking about this morning. So I think that this is, if you're from that agency environment, I think this is a more standard approach. You have a sort of symbiotic relationship between copywriters and art directors or designers. For us, it's, I guess, a little bit different because, you know, brand is sitting within a marketing team, which obviously has objectives around, you know, lead generation and nurturing and so on. So we do have that kind of content marketing, more typical like lead generation or demand generation, really, piece connected to. So it's just really important for any kind of campaign that we're considering. And that could be something, you know, from a TV campaign all the way down to something like an ebook. Like, you need to have a very close relationship between those that are working aesthetically and those that are working tonally. So I wouldn't say it's like for like in every single project, but that's something that's really important to me. And I guess I'm coming from more of the copy side as well. That's sort of my training. It's just important to have like both sides of the coin being presented.
Yeah. How do you approach content? Like, I think I'm seeing in Pleo pretty creative approach in general to how marketing should work. Are there things you do differently? Like, how do you approach, I guess, the content machine? Like, do you find innovations in there as well, or do you do kind of the standards ebook, white papers, and case studies? Or
yeah, I mean, it's a bit of everything, to be honest with you, and it's probably more so than the sort of pure brand efforts. It's always in flux. And it also has a lot of particular specialism depending on the market that you're looking at, right? Certain things are more successful in, for example, like influencer marketing is something that, you know, we haven't fully leaned into just yet. It's something that we're kind of curious to explore and do it in a very Pleo organic way, like something that feels right for us. And I would sort of pull together content marketing as part of that effort as well. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. One thing that we really try to focus on, or at least, you know, I try to communicate as well, is it's content and content marketing, but that marketing piece is with a lowercase m in a lot of cases. The team that we have that is working and responsible for content, their primary objective is to be great storytellers. And that means that they work very closely with customer support on help center articles or emails to customers. It means that they work directly within the product environments as well to support the product design and UX team on fleshing out new product experiences. And it's also, yeah, everything from the website to blogs and so on. So they have a pretty broad purview or understanding of basically being the tone of voice guardians for the whole company. It doesn't just materialize in the sort of marketing efforts.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. This is fantastic. I have a lot more questions. Maybe you and I should continue after this. But I try to keep this discussion, you know, short, the time for like a run or commute, right? Mm-hmm. So we're on time for now, but I think it's really valuable, at least for me, to understand how things are structured at Pleo. I'm very curious as well on the place that brand and creativity takes within the marketing team, which I think is maybe unique. Maybe you mentioned MailChimp. Maybe that's the MailChimp model. But it's very, very interesting. So thank you so much for this discussion. Any last word or last so that you want to share?
Oh, well, thank you for your time, and apologies if this has been overrunning. I talk quite fast. Maybe people are already speeding up the playback anyway, so they will get to it in their full commute.
No, this is perfect. Yep.
I would be remiss to say that, you know, if we are hiring quite a lot, yes. And you can, of course, go check out the website, pleo.io. You can contact me directly, luke@pleo.io. If you're interested to hear more about what we're doing, if you want to kind of take part and join that journey, we'd love to hear from like-minded people.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks.
Bye now. Bye. Something not... I can't stop it. That's weird.
Just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute. That's really weird. That never happened before. Interesting. Well, someone will have to cut this, right?
This is just keep it playing. Just keep it. This is maybe it's like a live stream. You know, people can just continually join.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tech Marketing Spot Chat. I hope you had a good time. I know I did. If you learned a thing or two, feel free to share this episode, and also let me know. I'm on LinkedIn. Please connect. Share your thoughts, and I'll see you there. Bye-bye for now.